Honor to have you tonight. I bless you.
Amen. What a joy it is to be with you in this church, with meeting your pastor and his lovely wife. These are great people of God. The anointing of God is in this house. It is in this house, and we have already received wonderful ministry through the Spirit of God, the anointing that goes forth in this place. God bless you. It's our joy to be with you. You may be seated. Rest yourself. I would just want to ask my wife to share with us what's on her heart. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Nealon, for allowing us to come. We're the ones that are blessed. I feel like tonight we've just been in the throne room with the Lord. Thank the praise team so much for ushering us in. And the praise, that's what he wants. That's what makes him happy. So glad to be here. And, you know, as missionaries, I almost forgot all that stuff that we've done, Brother. All glory to God, whatever we do, and will be unto us if we don't do what he's called us to do. But as missionaries, our longing, and I know as you as a church, our longing is to preach the whole gospel to the whole world, and it's by the whole church. And recently, well, not very many years ago, we were in the country of Malaysia, and there was a country right beside it that was under Sharia law that's been very closed. It's against the law to convert anyone to anything besides Islam. And we felt a burden for that country because there are just a very small handful of countries that we don't know of that have a witness of the truth in them. And those countries are closed to us. But we began to feel a burden for that country. God, please open this country some way so that somebody in there can hear the gospel. And we didn't know how to do it, but we began to pray. And my husband is also over Global Campus Ministries, University Ministries outside of the U.S. And he was teaching on a university campus when a girl from that country came up to me afterwards and she said, "My parents live in this country. I would like for you to meet them." And they were able to come out and meet us. We had dinner together, and then later they invited us to their home with the leader of East Malaysia. But before that, we had driven into that country and drove all through there on a prayer drive, just praying God that God would bring down the strongholds and that God would loose his spirit and that light could come into that dark, dark country. And we got in front of the Sultan's palace. We got out and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And the guards were there, but they didn't say anything. And I feel like God began a work. And we were able to go into that country and with the leader from East Malaysia and meet this man who was actually pastoring undercover a group. And he said, "Please pray for me and help me." He said, "I'm so dry. I don't have a covering. I don't have anyone to encourage me. I have to give and give. I need God. I need help." And so we began to pray, and the power of God fell in his living room. He and his wife began to speak in tongues and just feel the Spirit of God and feel the renewal of the Lord. And he said, "Now I want to take you to a home where they're waiting for you." We really didn't even know what was prepared, but when we got there, there was about 23 people sitting around the room. They had brought in a potluck dinner, and they sat to be taught. And so my husband began to teach. At the end of that time, the Holy Ghost fell in such a mighty way. Everybody in the room was crying. People were being filled with the Holy Ghost. And only God can do that. So the pastor, the next day we met with him and explained the word of God more clearly to him about Jesus' name baptism. And he said, "I'm going to baptize my people in the name of Jesus." And that was just the beginning. The next year we went in and he had us preach at another church. It was also pastored by a man that's not a legal pastor, but he was a charismatic type. And we were there and just began to preach truth. And there happened to be a lady there that was, there's three legal churches in that country. One is the Anglican church, the Catholic church, and the Protestant church. And she was over the Protestant, all the Protestant groups that would meet in her building. And that was the only safe place to be. So she came to that service. She was a Chinese woman that did not, her church doesn't believe in speaking in tongues or showing any kind of emotion, very traditional. And she was there. My husband, after he preached, just went back and laid hands on her. And everybody was like, oh, she doesn't believe in that. You know, he just laid hands on her, was praying for her. She went to dinner with us that day, and she said, could we talk tomorrow? So the next day she came to our hotel room, and she said, I want the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so we began to pray with her, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost in her room. Praise God. And things went on, and I won't fill you with all the information because it's too much, but we went back this year. The pastor from Malaysia that we had been working with passed away, and they asked us to go back and help fill in some of the gap in the work. And so we went back, and we met with her, baptized her in the name of Jesus. And then she had a group at her house the next day, a group of people that were from that charismatic church that had been praying together. She said, I want you to come teach them. So he taught all day on, you know, the baptism, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, and being baptized in the name of Jesus. And they, at the end, they said, can you baptize us tomorrow? And he said, let me wait. He said, let's wait. I want to talk to your pastor first. And he was the man that was the charismatic. So God made a way for us to meet with him after lunch, or during lunch, after his church service. He said, they tell me you have something to tell me. And he said, yes. So they sat down over lunch, opened the Bible, and he explained it to him. And he said, when can you baptize me? And so he said, right now, let's go. He had to go buy clothes just to get baptized because he wasn't prepared for that. You know, he's a pastor. So he went and got his wife. My husband baptized them, and he turned around and baptized all of his congregation that was there. And this is something that we couldn't put together, but God is doing a great thing in all the world. I thank him because if we just pray, if we just be there when he wants to move and do something, he opens the doors wide up. And if you feel like possibly that you can't get out of your home or you can't go overseas and you can't do what you would love to do in your heart, just know one thing, that you can pray. You can be shut in, but you can pray. And your prayers, and especially when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues, you're praying what the Spirit wants to pray through you. And your prayers will go places that you can't go physically. And don't underestimate what God, what his purpose is for you. And God bless you. We're so thrilled to be with you.
Amen. Amen. God is working mightily wherever we just allow him to work. And it does take someone to step out and to do something. Amen. Sometimes that something is just as simple as doing a prayer drive, doing prayer walks. You can do that. If you have neighbors or area of your community that you want to see a breakthrough and some doors open, people to talk to, I would encourage you to just do what the children of Israel did when they went into the promised land. They began to march around Jericho. And it works. We see it working in mighty ways. And it's a plan that we use often in many, many areas. First, go in and pray. And God's promise to Abraham was wherever you put your feet down. Amen. And that even works with car tires. It works even driving in your car. That you can just pray and drive and let the Lord just work through your prayer. He does. And he will open hearts. The Spirit of God will move and you'll find open doors. Amen. There's so many testimonies about that. Right here in the U.S., we know a church that their whole community was just collapsing financially, and the factories were moving out. It wasn't a large town in central USA, and they were getting desperate. People were having to move. It's a wonderful church, but they were having to move away for jobs. And so the church got a little desperate. And sometimes we have to get a little desperate in our measures. Well, they began to pray. And the ladies of the church, while the men were working, they were doing, in the midst of winter, prayer drives. And they were going and praying for the factories, the businesses, and different places in their city. Well, God began to work and turn that thing around. And one of the companies was Kraft Foods, and they one day called the church, and the ladies would go and park in the church van on the parking lot and pray. And they called the church and said, "Would you quit praying? Because we have more work than we can do." Amen. Amen. And that city became one of the USA boom towns for one of those years. Turned around completely. And because we know why. I tell you, God is a God that responds to prayer and the cry of his people. Amen. And we could tell you many stories. We use this means before we go in to help start things in Europe. And there was a plan to start a church in Paris and right downtown. Now, there were churches out from Paris and kind of surrounding the place, but no church right in the city itself. And so the National Work in Paris began to make plans, and young people... even in the Bible school, we teach in Scotland Bible School every year, and young people from Scotland and different countries gathered together in Paris, and for 1 week they prayed. They prayed all around the city. At every city gate they prayed, and they broke up into teams, and after that 1 week they opened the church. Some evangelism going on as well. And when they opened the church, in the opening service downtown Paris, 90 people gathered. And these were not just visitors from other fellowships. They're new people. There's a thriving church there today. And thank God. We ministered in that church in November. Our youngest daughter and her husband are involved in missions and left their careers early last year and went full-time into missions work. And they were working in Paris all last fall and in that church and saw wonderful things. But something happened that is so amazing. We met a couple there that had begun to come and Bible studies were open. We got to be involved in teaching them as well. While we were there, they came from an extremely closed country where it's illegal to even have a Bible. And no one knows of Christian activities in that country at all because it is so closed. And he was a member of the police force and fairly high up on a special task force against terrorism. Muslim countries suffer terrorism as well, because there's a big struggle between the different sects of Islam. So actually, as a result, he was shot, wounded, they sent him, the country sent him out to live for fear of his life. He was under threat. And while he went into Europe, God somehow crossed his paths with one of our preachers. And the Lord began to do a healing work in his body and in his wife's body as well. And Bible studies opened up, and we got to be with them when they were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And as the Bible study progressed, they got so hungry. They're studying in Bible school right now, and they are wanting to somehow take this message back to their people. Amen. Oh, God has ways. And when you think that maybe a country might be closed, he brings people right here to you. Some of you that are in college, studied in classes, there is a wide number of international students, and what an opportunity just by being friendly with them. And invite them, you can invite them over for dinner. My sister lived in a town with that, and her son, my nephew, at the age of 8 years old, ran into one of those international students. He was from Red China, and they crashed on bicycles. And my nephew was so embarrassed that he invited this student, Chinese student, home for dinner. Well, he gladly accepted that. This guy became a family friend, and the Red China had sent many students to this university to study because it was known for their studies in agriculture. And through that student and that dinner and that crash on a bicycle, in 1 year, 37 Red Chinese students were baptized in Jesus' name. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of them are back in China, and they're working in the underground church. Amen. Friend, I'm here to tell you the doors are open. The doors are open. We have to lift our eyes above politics and see the kingdom of God and get involved in it. There are people that are waiting for someone just to be friendly to them and share with them what God has done in their life. Amen. Amen. Folks, we have a gospel that is a powerful gospel. We preach the whole gospel, and we believe that it is for the whole world, and it is for everyone to be involved in doing it. He hasn't left you out. You say, well, I'm not a missionary. Well, you don't have to be a missionary overseas to be a missionary, because there's somebody in your town right here that is from somewhere else, and maybe God will use you to open doors in their country. Amen. By sharing the gospel with them. This gospel is so powerful. It changes lives. I like, you know, the Christmas story just in Matthew chapter 1. There's something that leaps out at me in this story. And it's a verse that you know so well and have read probably many times. It's verse 21 of chapter 1, and it just simply is this angel telling Mary and Joseph what's going to happen. Or Joseph is hearing this message. He was pretty alarmed when he found out that his bride-to-be was pregnant. Well, you would be too. And because he knew he was not the father of the child. And so he was quite alarmed. But being a man of kind heart and just, he knew that that would put Mary in grave danger. In fact, under Jewish law, she would be stoned. And so he, to spare her life, because he loved this young lady, he planned to hide her away privately. But then the angel of the Lord came and said, don't fear to take Mary unto thee as your wife, because the child in her is of the Holy Ghost. And then he tells him in verse 21, he says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Many preach a gospel that leaves you in sin with the concept that, well, you know, you're just going to have to sin every day, but grace will cover it all. God's grace didn't come to cover your sin. God's grace came to remove your sin. Jesus came to save us from our sins. The word here translated from, and it's the common word for that translation in English, from, is the word ek. It means to be extracted out of, taken out of. Amen. Thank God for a gospel and a name that takes us out of sin. I lived hard for the devil, and the devil was a hard taskmaster. He was brutal on me, and I didn't know how to get free. He told me I couldn't get free. He told me that I belonged to him. I gave my soul to him. And it seemed like there was no hope. But thank God for a gospel that will deliver, amen, and will set you free. And I'll tell you what, it will leave your past in a watery grave when you go down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And you will rise, as Paul said, to walk in new life. I didn't want to live the way I was living, but I couldn't get out. But thank God for a gospel, a name that was invoked over my life. When I called out to him, he responded, delivered me from those spirits that were in me and the habits that seemed to control me. And thank God, he buried it. He drew me out away from that sin. I feel like Paul, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And thank God, this works all over the world. It works all over the world. We were teaching Bible school in West Malaysia, in the city of Kuala Lumpur, and there was a young student there that he sat right on the front, and he was just so responsive through this whole day deal. And I didn't remember ever seeing him before, and he had driven actually 5 hours for classes, and from a town up north, and he came to my wife afterwards, after classes, and he said, I want to tell you my testimony. His name was Ishwada. He was of Indian descent. He was raised as a Hindu priest. He was well off, had access to anything and everything. As a Hindu priest, he was plagued. He told her, plagued with drug problems in his life because they used drugs in their ceremonies. And he was, his life, though he had access to everything he wanted, he was miserable. He was depressed. He came to the point he wanted to take his own life. And so he decided that he would go out into the ocean where he lives in Penang, Malaysia. The sea is a little strong, and he would drown himself in the waves at midnight. So he went to the sea, and he began to walk out into those waves to drown himself. And all of a sudden, a voice spoke to him and called him by name, Ishwada, stop! He stopped. He listened for a moment, and he said, which God is this? And he heard no answer. And so he named about 4 gods that he had been praying to recently, and there was still no answer. So he kind of shrugged his shoulders and took another step, and the voice spoke again. I am Jesus. I am your God. And with that, he was so impacted that there was a God that cared enough for him that he didn't want him to take his life. And he turned and walked out of that water onto the beach and got down in the sand and cried out and said, oh God, Jesus, I want to know you. Will you help me, lead me so that I might learn about you and know you? And the next day, he made it his effort to find a Christian church. He went from place to place that he knew of, and he finally found a church that was opened and a pastor inside, and it just happened to be the United Pentecostal Church of Penang. And through a Bible study, prayer with Ishwada, he was delivered of spirits. He was delivered from those drugs. God did miraculous things in his body, healing him of physical things that were impossible. And God
filled him with his spirit. He was baptized, amen, in Jesus' name. I forgot to ask him if it was in that same sea that he was wanting to kill himself in, because often they baptize in the sea in that part. Amen. But I can tell you his life was changed. He was studying in that Bible school, told me personally, said, I'm here because I want to effectively reach my people that are bound and don't know the way. I'm telling you, we are living in a hopeless world, but you have been given a message of hope. Hope that will deliver people, will change their life when they don't know how to change, when they don't know how to escape. Thank God for a gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the gospel that works in our lives. Amen. Amen. And we obey. Paul tells us to obey the gospel. And talks about obeying the gospel. Well, you know, also believe the gospel. But, you know, you can believe in the death, burial, and resurrection and not be a Christian. In fact, that doesn't make you a Christian. It makes you a good historian. First off, Jesus, if anyone tells you that's just a story made up, they're crazy. Because Jesus is verified by 7 Roman historians, none of them being Christians. It's not just a story in the Bible. It's verified by 1st and 2nd century historians of Rome, 7 of them. They mention him by name. They tell about his ministry. They verify that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate and they call him a cult leader, and even did miraculous signs that they believe were fake, but somehow he had a great following. There are 3 Jewish histories, non-Christian histories, that talk about Jesus and the same thing. And they admit that the tomb was empty, that they said that his body was stolen away by his disciples, which is an amazing story in itself. How could the poor fisherman, under the nose of the greatest army and the greatest soldiers in history, in that part of history, not detect some fishermen trying to get somebody out of a tomb that was sealed with Caesar's seal? Crazy story. But you see, you know, he resurrected. Praise God. But all that does, you can believe all that. All that does is make you a good historian. But Paul says we must obey the gospel. How do we obey the gospel? Well, the answer to the question on the day of Pentecost, after Peter talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of this Jesus and his ascension into heaven to sit at the right hand of power, then the question was, they were convicted in their heart and they cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And that's when Peter told them, "Repent." It always begins with repentance. Our journey to the Lord begins with repentance. If you want to come to his throne humbly, in repentance we come. Repentance is more than confession of sin. Proverbs tells us that he that confesseth his sin and forsaketh them, he'll find that grace and that favor of God. And so repentance is the first step always. And it's a powerful step. It's a powerful step of surrender to him and making Jesus your Lord and Messiah. It's like Thomas, when he saw the nail prints, he fell at his feet and cried, "My Lord and my God." If you will cry that cry and you will make Jesus, determined to make him your Lord and your God, and surrender your plans and your life to him, I promise you, there will be a great door that will open before you, and what's inside will leave, and what's outside, you'll begin to experience the power of God. It unlocks God's hands to begin to work his miracles in your life. It was at that point, full of demons. They wrestled around with me, Pastor, for nearly an hour as I snaked across the floor full of spirits. I don't know what all I was saying. I was pretty well unaware what was going on the outside, except on the distance I could hear them crying out the name of Jesus and seemingly trying to convince the devil to come out. But you see, the devil didn't have to come out because I had given him place. He's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And so I had to make a choice. Inside, the devil was screaming at me, telling me, you can't. You gave yourself to me. You belong to me. All of this stuff. You tried, failed. You can't do it. And so in the midst of that, the experience I had, I couldn't tell you whether my eyes were open or closed, but I saw the Lord. He came to me. And I could see those nail prints. And I could see what I thought should have been anger at me. I could see love and concern. Those eyes of compassion. It moved me so deeply. I was shocked because I thought God was just trying to, you know, zap me with lightning bolts and judge my sin and you know, fry me right there. That's what he should have done. But you see, that's not what he came to do. John said he came not to condemn the world because the world was already condemned. I was already condemned in my sin. That's the devil will, he'll get you to sin and then he'll come back and condemn you for it. But Jesus came to save us from that sin. And when I saw him and he came to me, he spoke to me. It wasn't a long discourse. It was just a few words. He called me by name. He said, Monty, if you'll put yourself in my hands, I'll do the miracles. And with that, it's amazing when God speaks even one word, seems like a volume of understanding comes in. And I understood, no, I can't do it. But if I give myself to him, he can do it. And if he can do it, it's like what Paul said. I understood what it said when he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No, I couldn't do it, but if I just lay myself in his hands, he would do the miracles. My repentance was one word. It wasn't a word at the devil, it was a word to Jesus. It just simply was a cry from the bottom of my toes. I cried out, yes! And when I cried that word, every demon that was in me left. It was like chains just began to snap like popcorn. And I was set free. I fell like a dead man in the floor. And strength re-entered my body after I don't know how long. It seemed like several minutes. But I was set free. Amen. And when I couldn't praise or pray, I could lift my hands. I stood to my feet and I gave myself to God. And friend, that deliverance is good today. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you there is nothing that can stop you. Even that man filled with a legion of demons on the seashore of Galilee, when he saw the master, he ran to him. The devil wanted to take him the other way, but it doesn't matter. The devil cannot stop you from coming to the feet of Jesus. He may tell you he can, but he can't. If you will just cry out to the Lord, call upon his name, surrender to him, place yourself in those nail-scarred hands. There is deliverance. There is deliverance. Hallelujah. Oh, and you will come to know him. There's something powerful happening today in the Islamic world. I've talked to so many Muslims in places that we have ministered and those that have come to the Lord, and I want to ask him, how did it happen? How was it that you came? And they all seem to tell the same story. They had a dream. They had a vision. They had an angelic encounter. And with it, when they saw Jesus, they knew that he was God. My wife, we were with the president of a work, a national work, and it was Monday. We'd had a busy weekend, and so we went to the tea plantation area in this country up in the mountains, cooler weather, and just for a day of relaxation. And so the tea plantation he wanted to take us to was closed. He was a little exasperated, but he said, well, we'll go down the hill and find one. And when we went in, there was another table next to us. It was kind of an outdoor veranda, and that table had two families. And I looked at them, and I always try to figure out what country they're from. Sometimes I get it, and sometimes I don't. I couldn't figure out what country. I knew they weren't from there. And so I finally, asked them, hey, where are you guys from? And they said, well, we're from Iran. And I said, amazing. And so they were actually living in this country. And so they asked us. And well, we asked them, well, are you Muslim? Because none of them had head coverings. And that, the women looked like normal women. They didn't wear their head covering. And this was an Islamic country that we were in, but one a little freer than most. But they turned around and asked us, what are you doing here? Being Americans. And well, we're here teaching the Bible. And they were kind of shocked a little bit and then began to ask me questions. And my wife got up and was taking pictures of the tea plantation. And one of those wives came to her. She said, you say you teach the Bible? She said, yes. She said, Can I ask you something? I said, sure. She said, now, I want to ask you in private. And so I don't want my family to know, my husband not to know. And so they kind of moved a little distance, and she said, is Jesus God? Oh, my, what a loaded question. And my wife immediately responded, oh, let me tell you about him. Said, now we only believe in one God. It's not a daddy God and a son God and a mother God. There's just one. And that God chose to make himself a body and dwell in it and walk among us. And she said, oh. She said, I thought so. And my wife said, let me tell you, his name, Jesus, is a compound name that actually means God has become our Savior. Oh, tears began to come to her eyes. She said, I thought so. She said, I saw him. He came to me in a dream. Said he came to me with angels on both sides, and they each had golden pitchers filled with water in their hands. And when he came to me, I knelt down at his feet and the angels poured the water on my head. She said, and I didn't know what it was, but when I saw him, I thought he was God. She said, and then no one told me what it meant. And I waited for a couple months and then I thought, well, maybe it was just a dream. And he came again with the same dream. And I knew it was from him. And then my wife said, oh, let me tell you what your dream means. That water is symbolic of the Spirit of God. Jesus loves you. He's called you. He's chosen you for a divine purpose. And he wants to pour his spirit into your life. Oh, with tears in her eyes, she said, I've got to know more. Would you please give me a phone number that I can have a contact and talk about this more? And so we got the contact of the pastor's wife who we were with, and she was able to make that contact. It was about 3 weeks later, and a Bible study was given, and she received the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name. And that Bible study continued as she was discipled. She had to be very careful at first about coming to the church, but her husband found out, and he started bringing her and sitting outside. But this woman was so on fire, still is, that she began to preach over the internet to her people back in Iran and in other places like Turkey, where many of her relatives and friends had gone for refuge. And she has seen numerous people baptized in Jesus' name. She went back to Iran, baptized her cousin. She now has had to leave Malaysia and live in Iran. It's been very dangerous. She has been in the hospital 3 times because of persecution. The last time with her jaw broken in 2 places. And they've tried to kill her, but God has spared her life. And she keeps saying every time we talk to her, I must be about my Father's business. Oh, friend of mine, Jesus is revealing himself. And if you want to know him, if you call upon him, you can know him. He will reveal himself to you. You can know the truth. Amen. And he will do it. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Let's stand together. This wonderful gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, of repentance. When they asked him, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't make baptism an option. He doesn't even make it as just a ceremony, church ceremony. No, biblical baptism is a powerful experience with God because we are baptized with him in waters of baptism. Amen. It's also called the circumcision made without hands. It's also called the operation of the faith of God. Amen. It's a powerful experience with God when it's done biblically. Amen. And then, of course, Peter told them to receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, wow. And Paul said it this way, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That was the message of the apostles, that temple in Jerusalem was a building made with hands, but God doesn't dwell in a building made with hands. He dwells in a building he made with his hands. Amen. The body that he created you. Amen. He wants to make you his tabernacle, his temple, his dwelling place, so that wherever you go, he goes. And wherever he goes, you go. Hallelujah. What a gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, Lord Jesus, your presence is in this house. Oh God, your gospel works in our complete person, spirit, soul, and body. Lord Jesus, work your work in this life today. Lord, in someone that might be struggling with depression, with fear, not knowing how to overcome, how the simple gospel overcomes fear. Jesus, draw them by your spirit, we pray, and do your work. Hallelujah. The Lord is in this house. I felt healing go forth early in this service as Pastor prayed, directed ministry of healing. I just might tell you that in the church that we class as our home church in Nashville, Tennessee, Brother Ron Beckton, they have a Sunday school class of 8, 9, and 10-year-old boys that pray for prayer cloths. They've been doing this for at least a decade. And the hundreds upon hundreds of miraculous testimonies. Well, the last times we were there, that they were testifying. They had the pictures of a 5-year-old boy that was diagnosed with leukemia and tumorous cancers all through his body, not expected to live. And someone took him one of those prayer cloths that those boys, young boys, prayed over. I'm telling you, God answers prayer. And God healed that boy. And those tumors disappeared. The doctor could not explain it, but they kept him under observation for the next 6 to 7 years. And at the age of 12, they had not returned. And they not just called him in remission, they said he was miraculously healed. I'm going to tell you, it works. Something's happening. Amen. Thank God it works. Praise God. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, here's a perfect time and place to let God work in you. Oh, would you come? Would you just surrender it to the Lord? Maybe you're bound. Oh, Jesus is here to do it. As they sing, praise God. Pastor.